Whole Foods Markets wants to rate the food it sells us as being good, better, or best, so long as farmers and food processors pay it an estimated $5,000 to $20,000 a year for the rating. And so we ask, how should we rate Whole Foods' responsibly grown rating system?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1024th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Port Vanier who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubio on the boards. Hello, Jason.
You're glad to be here.
Got you there, huh? Folks, Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. So consider for a moment the act of buying and selling a tomato. For some consumers, a tomato is a tomato is a tomato. This way of seeing the tomato makes life very easy for the merchant of tomatoes, who can shop the worldwide for the best tomato deal, and so long as the tomato he finds is red and round, the consumer will likely buy it. For other consumers, a tomato is not just a tomato. It's a whole world of things, including where, how, and with what the tomato was grown. These consumers do not go to the grocer and ask for a tomato. They ask for a dry-farmed, vine-ripened, organic tomato from the Molino Creek Farm in Davenport, California. Needless to say, this demand puts the grocer in a pretty tough position to negotiate price, because there is only one place on earth to get a dry farm, vine ripe, and organic tomato from the Molino Creek Farm in Davenport, California. In recent years, we city people have developed many different labels to describe foods we want to buy and eat. This labeling began with the word organic, but has grown to include so many other descriptors. Sustainable, natural, free-range, vine-ripened, hand-harvested, line-caught, and of course, GMO-free. As we learned from our little tomato buying adventure, each descriptive label we put on the food we want to eat makes life that much harder and more difficult for the people who sell us the food. And so what if a grocer were to turn the entire food buying dynamic upside down by developing their own rating system for food, a system that forces farmers to comply with the grocer's dictates and to pay for the grocer substantial sums of money for the privilege of complying? This thought leads us to ask, how should we rate Whole Foods' responsibly grown ratings system? Well, here to shop for an answer, we have a whole bunch of really cool people. We'll start with Mark Lipson, who is a partner with a Molino Creek Farm Collective in Davenport, California, of which I spoke, famous for dry farm tomatoes. Welcome aboard, Mark.
Good morning, Michael.
Gotcha. Good. Well, you're also with the UCSC Farm or Agroecology Program, right? A research associate?
I am now, yes.
Good. And you were also an advisor with USDA?
Up until last fall. I was doing that for about 4 years.
But what I know you for is being a pioneer of organic farming. And I think you were one of the people who were in on the actual legalization of the word organic.
That's correct.
Been
a while.
You've been a while. How long?
Well, I started farming with Molino Creek Farm in 1983.
Okay. And when did we legalize the word organic?
State definition for organic has existed since 1979,
okay.
But the federal national definition got put in place in law in 1990, and then the regulations implementing that and creating the National Organic Program at USDA went into effect in 2002.
Okay, so in business in organic for quite a while now. Also with us today is happy to have Matt Rogers, who's the Global Produce Coordinator for Whole Foods Market. Matt, welcome to the Food Chain. So pleased to have you aboard.
Thanks, Michael. Pleased to be with you.
Yeah, so you just got off the plane and getting on another plane, and somehow we caught you in between planes?
No, I'm off the plane for good, for at least for the weekend.
Well, if you're a if you're a global produce coordinator, you must do a lot of flying around.
Yes, we get around. We definitely make our effort to get out and see all of our growers. So it's I wouldn't have it any other way.
Sure. And all your growers are all over the world.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, obviously, in the produce, you know, for produce, the fruits, flowers, and vegetables that we sell, it's primarily United States, Canada, Central and South America, a little bit of Caribbean, some Europe, but not really all over the world when we talk about our supply, but definitely quite a few countries and all over the U.S.
Good. No lettuce from Antarctica, right? So, Matt, you're also the team leader for Responsibly Grown, so you're the expert, the man who can really help us out understand what Responsibly Grown is. And
absolutely.
When did
That's
you?
Right. I'm looking forward to doing that.
Good. And when did you come out with the Responsibly Grown label? When did this happen?
We launched it in our stores last October, so October of 2014, so about 9 months ago, and that was after having announced it to our suppliers a year prior and having worked on it with many of those suppliers and other experts for a year or two before that.
Uh-huh. Good to go. And so we've been working on this for a little while. Also with us today, we have Steve Sprinkle, who is a co-proprietor of Farmer and Chef down in Ojai, California, and also a member of the EcoFarm Board of Directors, Ecological Farming Association. Steve, welcome aboard.
Morning. Thank you.
So pleased to have you aboard. Steve is one of those people who always chew me out once whenever I stray from the straight and narrow, which I often do. I always get a heads up from Steve and saying, "Hey, bud, you're better off the mark on this one." So it's always good to get your flag. So let's start it off. We have three gentlemen here from really the core of the world of organic and sustainable and good food, as I guess somebody call it good food, the world of good food. And I kind of like that expression. I mean, it's a world where we do our best to bring the best food. And so let's start off with the whole notion of organic, because that's kind of really where it started. Mark, why did we come up with this word organic, and what were we looking for? Mark?
The word, yeah. The term for organic agriculture basically originated with the Rodale Farm and J.I. Rodale and Bob Rodale back in the, well, especially in the 1960s and early 70s.
Mm-hmm. What were
reaction to chemical agriculture, to the use of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers and the impact on health and the environment of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the understanding and recognition of the benefits of farming with nature, building soil, creating healthy soil for healthy plants and animals, for healthy people. And that's where it came from.
Good. Steve, what did we get when we got the word organic? As a consumer, as somebody, as city people going to the store, when we see something that says organic, what are we getting?
Certified organic product is a legitimate alternative to conventional food.
Okay, so we're really getting something there then, right?
I believed in it for 35 years.
And you are an organic farmer and an organic advocate, right?
I have 12 acres of certified organic agriculture, and my grocery store, the Farm and the Cook, is all organic.
Well, then, if such is the case, why do we keep adding more names and labels and descriptors onto the things that we want to see in our food? We just don't want organic anymore. We want dry farmed, vine ripened organic.
A lot of producers, especially, have seen that consumers are gravitating to the organic label. And sustainable is one of the labels, the descriptor, which is a really good word to use, the descriptor that's used. Local is another descriptor, GMO-free, like you said. And so without going all the way to certified organic, a lot of growers have adopted another descriptor in order to differentiate themselves from the marketplace. Certified Organic is just about the only one that puts an inspector on the ground every year that reviews the, that takes a look at the farm, but also that performs an audit.
And that's the significant thing. Going to have to take a quick break, gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to go to Whole Foods and ask them why they established a responsibly grown rating system and how do we, how should we rate that system as consumers. Do stay tuned. Michael Olson, Food Chain Radio Program. We will be right back.
Wow, MetroFarm.com says we can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
And we don't even have to own the land. We can lease it year to year.
MetroFarm.com says we can grow fruit on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, vegetables in city greenbelts, and ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
We can even grow flowers on our wooded hillside.
Get all the information you need to grow for profit at MetroFarm.com, including the complete guide to earning 5-, 6-, and 7-figure incomes by farming small parcels of land. Meet the farmers who earn the money. Find experts at MetroFarm.com who will examine your property and assess which crops to grow. Meet consultants who will help steer your project to profitability. And get the latest news about the business of growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
We've always dreamed about farming a small parcel of land. At MetroFarm.com, we can get all the help we need to stop dreaming and start growing.
Well, folks, it used to be that just about any old tomato would do because we harvested out of our own farms. We lived on farms then. And then we moved into the city, and, you know, when we moved into the city, we still went, got our hunger for tomatoes. We went out and bought tomatoes, and then we got to thinking, you know, that some of these tomatoes are better than other tomatoes, and we started defining them and looking for them and asking the grocers for them. And now some of us love good tomatoes. And where do we find them? Well, we find them from people like Mark Lipson from Molino Creek Farms, from Matt Rogers, who is with Whole Foods, and Steve Sprinkle, farmer and cook in Ojai. And these gentlemen are with us today to talk about how we look at food and how we rate it. And specifically, we're looking at Whole Foods because they've established an entirely new system for rating food called Responsibly Grown. And that's what we're picking up today. We're wondering how we should look at this program and how we should rate their program. So let's go back to Matt and start with you. You folks at Whole Foods really did perfect the whole world of selling organic food, did you not?
Well, I don't know if we've perfected it, but we've certainly been very engaged with supporting organic agriculture for 35 years and continue to. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of who we are. But, yeah, so it's an ongoing effort, like, you know, along with growers and with customers to continue to increase the availability of organic food for people.
Mm-hmm. And so we started developing a new rating system. I was curious. It must drive a grocer nuts when somebody comes in and asks for a dry farm, vine-ripened tomato from, like, Molino Creek Farm in Davenport, California, because that really reduces your opportunity for buying and, you know, finding the right deals on tomatoes or whatever, right?
Well, no, it doesn't drive us nuts. We love that, and that's what we try to do. You know, we Whole Foods is a bit different from your average grocer in that we do buy from hundreds and hundreds of local farms and food producers around the country at the store level in some places, at the regional level, and at a slightly larger scale. And so providing information about the grower, the variety, the growing method, like dry farm and organic from a particular grower is a beautiful thing. And that's what we aim for always. We can't always get there.
Right.
And that's part of what Responsibly Grown is intended to try to help us do. I look forward to talking about that part of it. But no, I mean, that deep transparency is what we need, and that's what we're always shooting for.
Well, then, if you have that going, why did you come up with something called Responsibly Grown when essentially that's what I thought that you did in the first place? I mean, well, that's what I thought Whole Foods was, right?
Right. Well, great question. And the answer is that despite all that certified organic tells us about how a product was grown, and despite all of the other information that is provided by, as you mentioned earlier, this alphabet soup of certificates and standards that are out there, many of which are accredited and audited and take a different focus or another. We are one of the largest buyers of fair trade products, for example, from outside the country. I think something like 75% of all fair trade produce that's sold in the United States is sold through Whole Foods. That's an annually audited and accredited standard that takes a different approach than organic. Not the same, but more of a social impact. And so, there's all of these different certifications and standards that we need to look at. And we do have direct information from many of our growers, like Mark and Molina Creek and many others, but we're able to put up the sign from a particular grower. We know exactly where it came from. We know them personally in many cases, but that's not the way that the food industry works in general. And we're not able to achieve that label of transparency on every single thing that we sell. And all of these certifications and standards that exist, sometimes as labels that are consumer facing, sometimes they're more business to business programs that we use as buyers to understand what's going on in a supply chain with a farm on the ground. Despite all of those, there are still gaps in the information that we know that we need to have in order to truly do what we want to do, which is to put our purchasing power behind the growers who are doing the best job to protect human health and the environment and produce, as you said earlier, good food, to the best that we could all do. We still have gaps in information. We want to know about water conservation. Customers ask about it. It's a valid conversation to have, not something that is clearly articulated through any of the programs that we're able to talk about with suppliers. Things like how are farm workers treated, things like the impact of farming on bees and pollinators, which has been a hot topic recently.
So the idea is to provide even more information on those areas that it's kind of easy, you know, when you live next door to a farmer to know what they're doing. The information is there, the people are there, so it's kind of easy. But the farther away you go from that, the more difficult it is to know. And I suspect that's part of what you're getting at. Are you saying that you'd like to get rid of all of these things like the certified organic and this and that?
Absolutely not. This is intended to be additive. So organic, certified organic, labeling in our stores, our approach to aggressively trying to build organic supply, work with suppliers so that we can have enough organic, high-quality organic food to sell to people as we grow and as the organic movement continues to grow and more people are awakened to the benefits, that is all here to stay. We're not removing any information. Certified organic has always been labeled clearly in our stores, will always be labeled clearly. Okay. We've got all kinds of labels and information out there. What we're trying to do is simplify a little bit for the customer so that they don't have to have a degree or be a food policy expert to understand all of this stuff. We try to put these systems in place so that we can help give people a little bit of a simplified view.
Okay.
But without removing any information.
So it's kind of like red, green, and yellow traffic lights. And so you can walk through a Whole Foods and see good, better, or best. And that's as simple as it gets, right?
Well, that's right. But that is, of course, in addition to what you would always see something that's labeled organic, that's something that is certified organic labeled clearly as such.
Okay, good. So then there will be other indicators as well. Well, good, better, and best. That's the objective, right?
That is how we are. Right. I mean, that is an attempt at trying to simplify a very complicated set of issues into a couple of tiers so that we can reward. We have this. We've built behind those ratings is this system of a range of questions on a range of categories that are relevant to sustainable agriculture, which we can talk about in a minute if we have time, that give us an idea as buyers, this consistent process to have a conversation with all of our growers about what is their approach on all of these topics.
Okay.
So that we can, first of all, make a clear statement to our suppliers. These are things that are important to us, and we want to support you in your effort to engage on these topics so that collectively we can move the needle in the right direction.
Okay, a couple.
And then receiving that information, we're able to put our purchasing power behind those growers, and then we're able to take that information and share it with customers so they, too, can use their purchasing dollars to to buy food that matches their values.
A couple quick things come to mind, a couple quick questions. One, number one is that I think if I were to walk through a store and see a good, better, and best, my mind might translate that as into bad, average, and good. Does that make sense? Because you only have three things. I mean, one is good, the other is better, and then there's best. But doesn't that kind of...
Well, no, I mean, I think the word good is not the word bad.
Okay.
Good, better, and best are three tiers of achievement. And our system to get into the good level represents an achievement that is significant and beyond what is just average.
Okay, so, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to ask what it takes for farmers to get into the system, and we're going to ask farmers if they are getting into the system. This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We are talking the Whole Foods rating system with you. Do stay tuned, right back. Well, folks, it's getting pretty confusing out there in the world of food. When you go to the supermarket, we see organic, we see sustainable, natural, free-range, vine-ripe, and hand-harvested, lion-caught, and, of course, GMO-free. Try to make sense of this, make it a little easier for everybody to understand. Whole Foods Market has developed its own rating system called Responsibly Grown. Today, we're looking at how we should rate Whole Foods rating systems. And with us today, we have all kinds of very interesting people to help us. We have Mark Lipson from the Molino Creek Farm Collective in Davenport, California, world-famous dry-farmed organic tomatoes. Oh, my goodness. Matt Rogers, Global Produce Coordinator, Whole Foods Market, just stepped off the plane from where?
Mexico.
Okay, good. Steve Sprinkle, proprietor of Farmer and Cook in Ojai, California, and also a member of the Ecological Farming Association, as I believe is Mark. So we're establishing this new system. What do farmers have to do to be good, better, or best? But there's nobody that's average or poor, right? Mark?
Well,
or Matt? It said that you don't have any categories for bad or average.
That's right. What we're doing is working everybody in our supply chain into the good, better, or best level. Until they reach that, we're calling them unrated, which means that we haven't been able to accomplish that. That level of depth yet, either they haven't had time to get through it or they're not able to achieve the minimum requirements to get to the good level. And over time, we will eliminate the unrated produce from our stores. And at that point, we will have only good, better, or best. So that's the way that the program is working. And we're taking some time to make sure that we give all of our suppliers the opportunity to get through.
Cornucopia Institute says it's costing farmers somewhere between $5,000 and $20,000 a year to be part of that program. Is that true?
No, I have to dispute that completely. Now, I'm not sure where they're getting that information. It seems to be based on information from people who may not fully understand what we're doing. I'd be happy to explain to you the costs that may be involved in working through it. There's a lot that we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
At the most basic level, this program is managed through a website which we've built for suppliers, which is supplier-facing. They can submit all their information. This is a program that's built for the current age, 2015, where we've got suppliers all over the world of all different sizes. So we want people to give us their information about their products, their supply chain, their farms, where are they located, how many are there, all the way through food safety information, social accountability, traceability, and then out through organic certifications, fair trade certifications, whatever they might have, and then answer the questions that we're asking to generate the responsibly grown ratings.
Okay.
To subscribe to that website, there is a cost, but the cost is $100 for a small supplier, 10,000 cases or less, that they sell to Whole Foods, $500 at the next level. The vast majority of our suppliers are going to be in one of those two levels. The cost is designed to support the website management. It's not offsetting at all any of our costs. In fact, we are taking on the majority of the cost of the program by saying we want to take the information in. We're not going to force out another audit, mandatory audit on the supply chain. Please give us the information. We're going to make the investment in reviewing it, understanding it, going back and forth with people. So that's one cost, fairly nominal, certainly not $5,000 to $20,000. We are also supporting a traceability initiative called PTI, Produce Traceability Initiative, which is an industry-wide U.S. and Canada produce industry initiative at getting a common platform to talk about traceability so that in the case of a food safety recall or withdrawal, the whole business is equipped to be able to react much more quickly and efficiently than we can currently.
Okay.
Now, that program involves putting some barcodes on boxes and getting labeling on boxes, and there are costs associated with that.
Okay.
Last point, nobody has been rejected. It's not a requirement to get a rating. We're asking everybody to get moving on that program, but nobody has been told they can't sell to us or that it's a prerequisite.
Okay, one quick question before we go to our farmers. You have a list of things that farmers can't use on their crops that are, you know, the bad chemicals nobody wants to be eating. But I did not see glyphosate on your list of things that farmers can't use.
That's right. We've started, for our conventional farmers, we have first in the country effort at establishing a prohibited list of pesticides. We're taking a first stab at some of the most toxic to human pesticides that are still allowed in agriculture. They're primarily in the organophosphate class, neurotoxins, and we've prohibited those as a starting place. Glyphosate is not on the list to start. It is worth noting that the primary use of glyphosate is not going to be in the crops that we're buying, fruits, vegetables, and flowers, primarily used in field crops. So we're looking at usage in the department on the products that we are dealing with in responsibly grown, and we're starting with the materials that have been shown to have significant impact on human health.
Good to go. All right, so good to go. Thank you very much. Let's turn to our farmers now and ask them how they see the Whole Foods rating system. Mark Lipson, Molina Creek Collective, been farming tomatoes a long time. Have you signed up?
I don't think we have yet, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Molina Creek is really one of the very smallest suppliers to Whole Foods. I'd be surprised this year if we're going to do more than, 3,000 or 4,000 cases into their system. And we haven't started shipping anything wholesale yet, so I don't think we've actually completed the onboard process yet, since we're not in the stores right now.
Okay. Steve, what about you?
We'll do it. It'll cost us $100.
Oh,
okay. And, that's part
so
of
it's kind of like the price you have to pay to sell it at Whole Foods. You may as well do it, right?
It's like 50 other kinds of things that you have to do as a small farm to be in business.
All right. Steve Sprinkle, what about you? Have you signed up?
No, I haven't contemplated doing it. I sell most of our products here at my store, and if I do have surplus that I didn't count on, I end up shipping it to Los Angeles to one of my distributors.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're having a discussion is that a number of iconic leaders in the fresh organic produce sector openly protested this and ended up being in the New York Times. So that it started being a little bit more of a national question that people are asking. I think what's happened with the organic community is we're almost on the verge of saying thank you for waking us up, because you're right by suggesting that there are an awful lot of descriptors out there that tend to confuse consumers about exactly what does it mean to be organic. Take the GMO-free label, for example.
Steve, can you hold that for a minute? We have to take a quick break. Folks, this is the Food Chain, but when we come back, we're going to go to Steve Sprinkle, and I think we have a dissenting word, so we're going to pick that up and find out what the problem is with the organic community with respect to the responsibly grown initiative put forth by Whole Foods Markets. Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson, we have Mark Lipson, we have Matt Rogers, we have Steve Sprinkle, we have you right back. Well, the responsibly grown rating system developed by Whole Foods seems like a good deal, but wait. The organic industry is raising some hooting and hollering about it. But what are they hooting and hollering about? Steve Sprinkle, what's going on? What could possibly be wrong?
The reason why the farmers launched their protest was that they thought that they already had been complying with a lot of the requirements that and needed to gain that best rating automatically. And that's one of the things that was eventually brokered out when we had our discussion a little bit earlier this year. I think that the organic community hasn't done a good enough job with regard to defending and to explaining what it is to be organic. For example, so many of the things with regard to land use, erosion, soil improvement, all of these things are statutory. These things are regulated already at the state and the federal level. You can't farm on an organic farm and create an environmental problem. These things are already observed and noted every year that there's an inspection. When I was starting to talk about the GMO label, you know, and organic has been on records being free of genetically modified ingredients or organisms since 1998, when the first go-around on the National Organic Program began. But we haven't done enough work on trying to make sure that consumers know that. So people are asking now, is organic GMO-free? Which is really kind of preposterous for us to have to ask and answer that question.
Well, there you go.
And this is just one of the things that we need to do a better job on. With regard to domestically produced produce, I think there's already enough regulatory pressure, especially with regard to labor, that the farmers, especially in our community, would not break the law and are trying to provide a good workplace. By definition, the organic farm has to be a superior workplace because no synthetic pesticides are used there.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that
another thing? Go ahead, Michael.
Well, yes, we all know that you and Mark are doing a good job of being stewards of the land and taking good care of your crops. But what about somebody on the other side of the world? And when Matt is in charge of global food, global produce coordinator for Whole Foods, I mean, he could be buying tomatoes from Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego.
There, a lot of us also have taken a position being sort of a devil's advocate with regard to this, to the responsibly grown labeling initiative. For example, they've sunsetted in 2016 a significant number of agricultural chemicals which are of carcinogenic concern. And so they're driving their conventional growers to continually limit and to get away from using some of these materials. And so basically, without taking not defending the organic entirely, I think that's a good idea. If it leads those growers to eventually become certified organic, I hope that's one of the results. We can't really wonder or guess at what the motivations are. It's kind of a revelation to see that Whole Foods is willing to say, if you guys are using this, and you do, we're going to ask you to stop. And a lot of consumers don't really, they don't conceptualize the fact that at the Whole Foods there may be conventional product where that stuff is being used.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. And of course, like I said, I think it's a good thing that the organic community can start defending itself and suggest to consumers that they go to Whole Foods and ask for organic, and that the organic product, whether it's grown overseas or domestically, meet those requirements.
Well, Mark Lipson, you've one of the fathers of the organic world. Are you seeing the same thing? Are you seeing a lack of a fight in the organic world so that that Whole Foods actually finds a need to have responsibly grown? Have there been a deficiency in fight in the organic folks?
Well, there has been plenty of passion and effort in the organic world, but a lot of it's been directed sort of within itself. And for me, one of the important lessons about this episode, I agree totally with Steve, you know, that it's a good wake-up call for the organic community to realize that it may be being taken for granted, you know, that the achievements of organic agriculture and organic certification have been sort of taken for granted or overlooked over time by the marketplace, and that we need to do a better job of reminding people or educating people in the first place what organic actually means. And we know that, you know, people have been very confused by just the term natural, which doesn't have any standardized meaning at all. It is totally abused in the marketplace, but many consumers gravitate towards it because that's how marketing works.
Well, everybody's looking for a safe harbor, right?
Yeah, but the point I wanted to make, Michael, is about the internal dialogue within the community, within the marketplace networks that are striving to use the market to improve the performance of agriculture and to embody a wider range of values. What happened in this case was we needed a course correction, and we have had a productive dialogue about that.
Can you hold that? Because I want to pick up your dialogue when we come back, because I think it's a great example of working things out. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, responsibly grown or not? What do you think? Well, good, better, or best? That's the deal of the Whole Foods rating system. It can only be good, better, or best, and if you're not there, you're not there. Well, we had a significant amount of feedback from the organic community that really wanted to complain or raise up the issues with Whole Food, and, you know, I think they did. I think they got together and had a conversation. Is that true, Matt?
Absolutely.
And what was the complaints that they brought to you?
Well, I think some of it was about the way that much of it was about the way that responsibly grown was being presented in the stores in comparison to organic, and the potential that a customer might be confused or perceive a reduced value or awareness of certified organic as compared to the responsibly grown logo. It's not intended to do that. So we heard that. I think in reviewing how the program looks, having rolled it out late last year, we're going to make some adjustments to make sure that it is abundantly clear organic versus conventional in the store, primarily, first and foremost, followed by a responsibly grown rating.
Okay. What are the questions I wanted to ask you? Would it be possible for a conventional farmer in China to get a best rating?
Well, we don't buy any produce from China, so no. but your point, I think your point is it possible for a conventional farmer to get a best rating?
Yes.
And the answer is it is possible. It is quite difficult. They are rare. They do exist. And we want to make sure that a conventional best rating is really reserved for the truly best-in-class non-organic operators in our supply chain, of which there are many. And as we get to the anniversary of a year of issuing ratings and really seeing where we are, there are very few conventional best ratings, but we are going to review the requirements for the best level for conventional growers and really ensure that that is reserved for the absolute best in class. But there are examples of people who, growers who are doing just an incredible job across their supply, across their operation, are not organic for one reason or another, but deserve to be recognized at a very high level in this program.
Okay, so let's rate the Whole Foods Responsibly Grown rating system. Mark Lipson, you are a pioneer of the organic movement. Is this rating system good, better, or best?
Well, I'll give it a good. I am not I'm not convinced that any of these scoring systems that try to add up a bunch of different things in really wildly different areas are
going to make
getting
it work
to the nature of the system. You know, the parts don't necessarily add up to the whole.
Okay,
Steve. That's the virtue of organic, is that it is about the whole system.
Okay, Steve Sprinkle, good, better, or best?
I think it's good because it really did wake us up. We really don't have a significant shortfall in organic produce right now. I've been watching for the last half year the offer sheets that come out of the major suppliers in San Francisco and Los Angeles, and I have never seen such cheap prices. Cheap means available, almost at a surplus.
Okay, out of time. I gotta go. Mark Lipson, Matt Rogers, Steve Sprinkle, thank you. Wish I had three more hours with you guys. Goodbye.
Yeah, we need it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.